Find in your Bibles Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk. If you go to the middle of the minor prophets, it'll be right there. If you come to a book that starts with the letter Z, you've gone too far. Chapter 3. Now, if you find your place there, if you're really good at it, then also we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24 most of the night. But I wanted to start with this because it kind of sets the tone for what Jesus is going to say in Matthew chapter 24. Verse number 17 of Habakkuk chapter 3. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's a pretty bleak situation. Very difficult for them because they didn't have Meijer or Kroger where they could go get groceries. If these things failed, they'd have to go hungry and forage for something. And so very difficult time for them. But notice his response and his attitude, even in such a difficult time. Verse number 18, yet will I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Now, there in verse number 19, when he says that the Lord will make his feet like hinds' feet, in other words, he'll escape the devastation, he'll escape the crises, he'll survive it, he'll live through it, and God's blessing will be upon him, not by any he won't escape by any strength or might or wisdom of his own, but it will be the deliverance of the Lord. And so why don't you turn over to Matthew chapter 24 now. So that's Habakkuk's testimony in the Old Testament and what his response is in times of devastation. Now, I prepared this yesterday not knowing how the elections would turn out, and I'm glad they turned out the way that they did and that we have a president that will at least fight for the values that we have in the Word of God instead of fight against them. And so I praise the Lord for that. But if the election had turned out differently, then you know our world wouldn't end. You know, we could still keep going on. And so in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Again, we have described for us a very difficult situation, a time of major crises, the wars, rumors of wars, the pestilences, the famines. All these things would make life very difficult. And what we want to strive for is an attitude like Habakkuk had, that he would join the Lord. But here Jesus simply says, be not troubled. Be not troubled. If Vice President Harris had won the election yesterday, how would your heart be right now? Would it be troubled? And so I just wanted to talk about that, particularly out of verse number 6, because there's four things to notice there, at least four things in verse number 6 about this thought of being not troubled. The first is just simply a chaotic world. And in verse 6, he just talks about the wars and rumors of wars. He elaborates on that or expands it in verse number 7. But anyone want to give a wild guess at how many wars are taking place in the world right now? Okay, I heard 50. 25. Do I have 60? 25? 50 is actually pretty close. 42 is the official number right now. Some of them we might just call skirmishes. A lot of them are civil wars. Obviously, Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Islam are the two major ones. But there's a lot of them going on. A lot of them you never hear anything about. And that's unfortunate because people still die and are sent off into eternity. And that ought to concern us. You know, we need to get the gospel message out there. The devil would have us destroy one another and send us off to hell before we have an opportunity. Now, he has nothing to gain by a lost person dying and going to hell. Nothing to gain whatsoever, because he doesn't have any control over hell. He's going to be suffering in the hottest, darkest place in hell. And he'll have no fellowship with anyone at that point. The only reason he does it is out of spite to God, because man was created in the image of God. And so we have wars and rumors of wars going on all about us today, but God tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, famines. What happens when you go to the grocery store? Now, I haven't been here that long, 3 years. When we do the men's breakfast, do you know it costs twice as much for the men's breakfast as it did 3 years ago? I may be a couple dollars short of twice as much. It's just ridiculous how groceries are. It's getting to where people are having difficulty affording groceries. I think that's a form of famine. The food is there, you just can't buy it. And that's what it's described like in the tribulation period, that the economy is going to be so bad that you're going to work all day just to get one meal. And then you won't be able to feed your family. You're just barely surviving yourself. But it's going to be there. The luxurious items will all be there. You just can't afford to buy them. And that's what we're running into under Bidenomics. And that's just unfortunate. But there are famines. Just watch late night TV and all the pleas for feeding the children around the world. And it's a real blight in this world that they're not being fed and they can't get food. It's a difficult time. It's a world in crises. But God says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Then there's pestilences. Remember in March of 2020, we all know what happened that month, don't we? That's when COVID hit. And the panic and the concern there was, at least at first, and COVID is still with us. What about the West Nile virus? That goes back a few years, doesn't it? You want to venture a guess at how many cases there were in the United, or have been in the United States this year already, updated to November 5th. Pretty current data. Anyone want to venture a guess how many cases? No. Diane's just got it going tonight. She said 1,000. It's actually 1,240. So she's right in the ballpark, two times in a row. And pretty good for just a wild guess with having no idea. But 48 states have cases, at least one case of West Nile virus. And, that's still pretty significant. I think it was either 24 or 29 in the state of Michigan. You don't hear a lot about it, but a pestilence still in the world. And we all have been warned that it's only a matter of time before the next major virus escapes a laboratory somewhere and decimates the population. But Jesus says to us, let not your heart be troubled. He says, don't worry about it. That's basically what he's saying. What was that phrase a few years back? No worries. No worries. Just be calm. Be relaxed. Continue serving God. Don't stop what you're doing. Just keep on keeping on. Then he talks about earthquakes, and we hear all about all the natural disasters. Now, expanding beyond just earthquakes. Now, we hear of more earthquakes today than we did before because our equipment that we have to recognize them has gotten a lot more sensitive, and we can hear them in news travels around the world. And so we hear more about earthquakes. So it seems like there's more than there ever has been. I didn't do the research to know if there's more occurring today than there was 20 years ago or 100 years ago. I really have no idea, but we hear about it with 24-hour news, and every hurricane takes the major portion of the news station and the local news, and they want you to know all about these things. We hear about them all the way across the world, and putting men into fear, putting men into worry. But Jesus looks at us and says, you know, your world seems to be full of crises, seems to be full of trouble, seems to be full of problems, difficulties. Life is tough, but let not your heart be troubled. No worries. Just look up to me and trust me. Now, that's the first thing we see is we live in a chaotic world. live in a chaotic world. The second thing we see here in verse number 6, not just a chaotic world, but we see a command. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, let me read it so I get the whole statement. See that you be not be troubled. See that you be not troubled. Now, the interesting thing about this is that word see is a command. And what makes it doubly interesting is that be not troubled is also a command. And so the entire statement is in the imperative. Jesus is trying to get across a point here to us because it's only natural for us to react with worry, with concern. What will happen to us? What will happen to our children? What will happen to our country? What will happen to our world with all these things taking place and all these things going on and everything going wrong? And it just seems like it's going into disaster after disaster. How can we ever survive this world? Jesus says, no worries. Let not your heart be troubled. This is my commandment to you. He says it's not an option. If we have an issue with worry, we can call it whatever we want, anxiousness, we're actually breaking the commandment Jesus gave to us here in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 6. And it's something that we need to work on. And in just a moment, we'll talk about how it's possible to rise above the worry and the concern or being troubled all the time, because we certainly do live in a world where all these things are taking place, but it ought not negatively affect us. It'll affect those around us. I imagine there's a lot of people out there in the United States of America that are very concerned about where our country is going to wind up within the next year, because of how they portrayed President Trump. And that's unfortunate. And they're all worried and they're concerned and just wringing their hands. But if they're a Christian, they ought not let their heart be troubled. They should have voted for him because God is pro-life. And President Trump was our only option at the presidency for a pro-life candidate. But you know, the world isn't pro-life. They're pro-death. They want people to be able to take their own lives and the lives of others anytime they want. And so they're going to be concerned. They're going to be wringing their hands. They're going to be pulling their hair out. And they look at you and they ought to see a smile and a calmness that they just don't have and they just don't understand. And I think this is why God makes this a command, because this sets us apart from everybody else in the world. In the midst of the disaster, just like Habakkuk, we should still rejoice in the Lord. Now, how is it possible? Well, three suggestions. Really, it's only one suggestion, but it's just simply faith. Faith. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. I just love that verse. Talking about Abraham. It says that he staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then verse 21, that first phrase, and being fully persuaded. Isn't that a statement and a half? Not just persuaded, but fully persuaded. That means there was no sliver of doubt in Abraham's mind. Now, what is God's reference point here? It's when God looked down at Abraham when he was nearly 100 years old and said, hey, buddy, guess what? In 9 months, you're going to have a baby. Imagine that. If most of us in the room, if God said that to us, hey, guess what, buddy? You're going to have a baby next year. I certainly hope not. But Abraham was a lot older than anyone in the room, wasn't he? He was almost 100. And Abraham was fully persuaded. Think about that. An impossible statement made by God. We know about Sarah. She was 90. We know about Abraham, almost 100. And to think that they could have a child. Abraham believed it. Obviously, Sarah did too. She had her doubts, a little skeptical at first, but she was a willing partner. And God keeps his promises, doesn't he? And Abraham knew that. And that's why this wasn't an issue with him. His heart was not troubled. He was fully persuaded. He had faith in God that God would do what he promised he would do. And so when Jesus tells us, see that ye be not troubled, we can do that by faith. Faith in God's providence. Did you know God is still in control? Even if Vice President Harris had been elected, it doesn't mean God had lost his control of the United States of America and in this world. Doesn't mean the devil won the day. God's going to allow the devil to win some days. He's going to get his man in charge during the tribulation period. We know him as the Antichrist. And so he's going to have his day. God's going to give him 7 years. But today isn't that day. God, even when the devil has his day, God is still sovereign. And so we trust God's providence. The idea that God has a plan and that God is orchestrating that plan according to his perfect plan, and everything will come out exactly like he tells us in the book of Revelation. And so we trust in God's providence. That if we appear to not have enough, like in the situation of Habakkuk, where all the food supplies were gone, just simply trusting, this is God's will. This is God's plan. I'll be all right because I'm in God's hand. He knew about this ahead of time, and he's just simply working out his plan for my life. And so having faith in God's providence, but also faith in God's protection. Faith in God's protection. That whatever we face, God has a hedge of protection about us. And that nothing can harm us unless God allows it to. And though the devil would love to just tear us apart, he can only go as far as God will allow it. And Job is our famous example on that. When the devil came and asked if he could harm Job. Now, he didn't even want to bring Job up. You know that what happened. He didn't want to bring Job up before God. But God brought Job up, a righteous man who escheweth evil. And so the devil said, yeah, but if you let me at him, he'll change his tune, won't he? God said, no, he won't. The devil said, prove it. God said, all right, here's how far you can go. And the devil went as far as God would allow it. He didn't hold back an inch, did he? When you think about what happened to that poor man, lost everything. Everything, including his family. I believe his wife walked out on him, got frustrated. She said to him, curse God and die. But the devil can't go any further than God will allow. That's God's protection. If we have faith in that, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter if everything's crumbling in and falling apart in our world. And so our heart can not be troubled. And then a third area is God's provision, that God will give us what we need, whether it be financially, whether it be something to eat, something to wear, whether it be encouragement, emotional needs, God will always provide. And so we have faith, being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to provide, he is able to do. And so this is a command, be not troubled. And so the first thing we saw in Matthew 24:6, we saw a chaotic world. We saw, secondly, a command. Thirdly, we see a controlled situation. I've been talking about this. But at the end of verse number 6, he says, for all these things, what's that next word? Must come to pass. The old saying goes, nothing takes God by surprise. That's exactly what Jesus is telling the disciples. He says, you fellows are going to face some hard situations coming up after I'm gone. The devil's going to attack because he thinks he has you, but he doesn't. But these things must happen. And as we read through the Bible and study the end times and see what the world will be like, it's describing the world that we have today, where wickedness seems to be prevailing and righteousness is being called wickedness and wickedness is being viewed as righteousness. Doesn't mean we have to like it, but it helps us to understand that we're just winding down and that pretty soon we'll hear that trumpet and we'll be gone. And this world will be plunged in those 7 years of tribulation. You see, it's a controlled situation. God is in charge. He's in control. Everything's going according to his plan. And so our heart shouldn't be troubled. We should have no worries. And then the fourth thing we see, I think this is the best part, a consummation. He says at the very end, he says the end is not yet for them. It's been almost 2,000 years now. You know, there's going to come an end at some point, won't there? And what's on the other side of the end? A beginning. And what a wonderful beginning that is for us who are saved. It's a horrible ending for those without Christ. But for us who are saved, what does it matter if we struggle and suffer for 70, 80, 90 plus years? What's it matter? We're going to have an eternity walking the street of gold and drinking from the pure river of the water of life and eating from the tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruit and worshiping at the very throne of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Never having a worry, a concern, a pain, a tear ever again. There is an end coming. And we're on the winning side. And even though we know that, we'll realize it when the end comes. It isn't going to be perpetual trouble, chaos, and crises. There's coming a glorious day when we see our Savior. And so Jesus commands us that ye be not troubled. See that ye be not troubled. Be that picture of peace and calmness and faith in God. Because the world needs to see it in this troubled world in which we live. And so in the days ahead, if you encounter people who are struggling because of the election didn't go the way they wanted, be that example, that testimony, and be an encouragement to them that Christ is, in fact, the answer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for preparing our hearts for difficult days. And Father, providing everything we need to have no worries in times like these, but that we can, with a clear conscience and a joy in our heart, continue to serve you and do the things you've commanded us to do. Father, now as we each go our separate ways, may you bless us and go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.